Today I'm going to present HydraVM extracting parallelism from legacy sequential code using software transaction memory. The outline of today's presentation, I'll start by motivation and objective of this work, then brief background information, the architecture of HydraVM, then how we reconstruct the program, and finally implementation details about HydraVM. Our motivations, as we all know, now we are in the multi-core era. Processors now has more cores and no more faster CPU. As we see in these two graphs, this graph shows that the CPU frequency is tend to be constant now, and the number of cores is getting higher year after year. Legacy software is designed intentionally to use a few number of threads. That's because the difficulty of multi-threaded programming and to reduce the cost and developing time. So if you need to refactor the legacy software manually, it will take a lot of time and a lot of money. Third, we have seen that the majority of the previous work concentrated on special purpose parallelization, so we need a new technique for general purpose parallelization. Our contribution, we have designed a new general purpose parallelization technique. We are automatically refactoring at the virtual machine level without the need for the source code. And we built and designed HydraVM, which is a Java virtual machine prototype based on JAICS RVM, and it automatically parallelizes the sequential code. For related work, it can be distributed, it can be categorized into two categories. First, non-speculative parallelization. It was compiler-based and concentrate on a loop-level parallelization and only can handle a limited data dependency since it only can handle the approved independent data between the loops, the loop iterations. The speculative parallelization can be further categorized based on the program constructs it can handle, whether it's subroutines, loops, or traces, whether it's implemented in hardware or software, does it require the source code or not, it is implemented online, offline, or both. Also, we see that many of the related work was fine-grained parallelism, concentrated starting from the instruction level parallelisms, and we reached the coarse-grained parallelism using the thread speculation. We will give a brief background about the transaction memory. Transaction memory is a new concurrency control abstraction. Its idea is based on the database transactions. As you know, the database transaction has asset properties, atomicity and consistency and isolation and durability. For the memory transaction, it has all these properties except the durability since it runs in the memory. As we see in this code, easily we mark the part of the code, the critical section, as atomic, and the transaction memory guarantees that these operations are run in, atomically and in isolation from other transactions. But with the right level of tuning, we can reach the fine-grained looking performance using the software transaction memory. Also, it has an important feature that is the transaction is composable. Transaction memory is implemented in hardware and software, or using both as a hybrid transaction memory. Of course, transaction memory is not a server bullet. It has some limitation, like it cannot support I/O operations, as we'll see in the next example. In this example, we'll show this binary search tree. We need to insert 9 and 15 concurrently. And the transaction memory is based on optimistic concurrency, which means that all the transactions run concurrently, which is with each other, and we monitor the reads and writes of each transaction. When two transactions access the same location and one access is a write, then there is a conflict between these two transactions, and one transaction only is allowed to commit while the other are aborted and retried later. Return to this binary search tree example. Let's say thread A will add node 9 and thread B will add node 15. Both transaction has what's called read set and write set. The read set is keep track of all the location read by the transaction, and the write set keep track of all the locations written by a transaction. So first, both transactions will read the root node 8 and add it to the read set. Next, both will go to node 10 and add it to the read set. Next, now thread A have found the location to add node 9, so it will update the left child pointer of node 10, and thread B will proceed to node 14. Thread A now will request a commit, and since there is no conflict with other transactions, it's the first one, it will commit successfully, and thread B now found the location to add node 15. It will update the right child pointer of node 14. Now, when B commit, we'll need to compare the read set of thread B with the write set of other concurrent transaction, in this case, thread A. We'll found that thread A has modified only the left child of this pointer, of this node, while thread B have read the right pointer and the node value. So there is no conflict between these two transactions, and it allowed to commit successfully. This move us to the granularity of the transaction memory. The previous example is based on field-based granularity, and this, if we moved or used object-based granularity, then these two transactions will have a conflict. This is object-based transaction granularity is based on considering the entire object as a single entity. So now thread B have read the 10 node or the entire object while it's written by thread A. Now there is a write after read and there is a conflict, so thread B is aborted and retry later. In these two graphs, we show that the software transaction memory can reach similar performance to the fine-grained locking or better in other cases. How we can use the transaction memory for parallelization? We'll have brief thoughts here and more details later. We use it to have a simple data analysis between the jobs that we will run parallel. And if there is other conflict, undetected data dependency, it will be handled by the transaction memory. Of course, it has overhead, but we made more efforts in tuning the software transaction memory, and we implemented it inside the virtual machine to gain the maximum level of performance. There is best efforts that use the software transaction memory for, or the transaction memory in general for parallelization, like STMLite and the FastPass, and other, these two are based on loop parallelization only. And another one, another work that was based in recursive programs parallelization. Now we'll talk about the architecture of Hydra VM. In this graph, Hydra VM is a virtual machine. It accepts a standard class file. It first passed by the profiler. This profiler injects code that allow us to detect the hot pass of the program and detect the data dependency between blocks. This profiled code is compiled and then run, executed. This execution is monitored by the inspector. The inspector collect information on this profiled code. This information is added to the knowledge repository, which contains the memory access by each basic block and the, how many times this block is executed. When enough information is collected in the knowledge repository, the builder start to analyze the program based on this information and generate the parallel code, which is compiled, and then the program, the modified program is executed as jobs, and each job is run as a transaction monitored by the software transaction memory. And at this phase also, we monitor the conflict between the jobs and the conflict rate. Also, it's added again to the knowledge repository. So if the conflict rate increased, the builder come again and tune the parallel program, and this last phase continue as the program run. So we have three phases in Hydra VM. The first phase is the program analysis. This phase is, as we've shown in the previous slide, it's based on the profiling and the inspector. This phase is slow since the profiling instruction take more time. So if the program will run for a long time, it can be done online. Otherwise, it's done offline. Second phase is when the builder come and generate the parallel code of the program based on the basic blocks analysis and the generated as a job-based execution. The last phase, which continue while the program is executing, is the tuning. It continually lay out the basic blocks and to minimize the conflict rate between the basic between the super blocks. As you see in this simple code, this is the resulting bytecode after recompilation. We split it into basic blocks, which is a sequence of instructions end by branching operation, conditional, unconditional, or a return. These basic blocks can create the execution graph of the program. And the profiling code injection monitors, as we said, the execution frequency of each basic block and the data dependency between the basic blocks and the I/O operations. As we said, the transaction memory cannot handle I/O operations since it's based on running a transaction. If it is not, if there is a conflict, we abort. I/O operation cannot be aborted and retried since effect is already happened. Then we move after we found, collected this information to the super blocks detection. Now we know the hotspots of the program. We know the data dependency between the basic blocks. So we can now extract the parallel execution patterns from the program. In this example, this is the matrix multiplication code, just the three loops. And if we run this program in a simple case of multiplying two matrices of dimension 2 by 2, we have this execution graph. If we collected this execution graph in this sequence, we give each basic block unique identifier. In this case, we use a symbol alphabet for defining each basic block. This is the resulting string that's coming from the execution of multiplying these two matrices. To detect the super blocks, we use a matrix factorization based on the means algorithm. As you see in this string, starting from G to HI, this pattern is repeated twice, so it's here, square. And inside this pattern also, there is another pattern that is repeated twice, which is the HCFEFG. To handle the data dependency, we add the dependency between the two the basic blocks in the execution graph. In this case, it's happened to be in the same super blocks. If it's not, we merge these two super blocks that has data dependency between them. And if a super block has I/O operations, then this super block must run in the correct chronological order and does not run speculatively. The code construction is a job-based execution. We change the program to run as a producer-consumer pattern, and the jobs are run as transactions. In more details, we have the collector. This is the program as a super blocks. The collector select the correct super blocks from this collection and add them to the job queues for the executor. The executor allocate the core threads and assign the tasks to these threads and request the next tasks from the collector based on the output of the execution of these, the current super blocks. Also, each job is run as a transaction. So how the transaction memory help in parallelization in details? The transaction memory, we use it to maintain the program consistency and correctness. Each transaction has a chronological order which relates to the sequential program execution order. And the transaction is allowed to commit if and only if it is reachable and the program has reached its chronological order and there is no conflict with older concurrent transaction. To understand these three conditions, let's say that we have three super blocks, A and B and C, and it can execute as A followed by B and C, or A and directly by C. We run these super blocks concurrently. It happens that C finished first, and C is delayed. So now when C requests to commit, it will find that it's not its chronological order, so it should wait until A finish and B finish. When A finish, it's directly commit. And at this step, if the next store block is B, then B is allowed to commit. Otherwise, if the next block is C, then B is not reachable and it will not be committed and it will be discarded. Now C, it has its time to commit, so it allowed to commit at this time after A or B finish. If there is a conflict between C and A, A will commit since it's the older one based on the chronological order of the super blocks, and C will be aborted and retry later. The tuning phase, as we said, it's based on monitoring the conflicting jobs and adding this conflicting job to the knowledge repository. And if the conflicting rate increased above a predefined threshold, at this time we start to tune the program by combining the conflicting super blocks into a larger super block, so there is no more conflict in this between these two super blocks. We'll talk about more implementation details of Hydra IVM. To detect the real memory dependency, as you know, the compiler tried to optimize the local variable by reusing them more and more. So this makes the dependency analysis harder. So we convert the program to a single static single assignment representation. And using this representation, we can detect the data dependency easier. Also, the super blocks has a feature of having multiple entries and multiple exits. If we our analysis is based on the execution of the program. If the next execution is different due to different input, for example, the matrix multiplication, we have now larger one, 3 by 3, or anything else. Then at this step, any basic block at inside the super block can be accessed directly, which means what we mean by multiple entries. We can access each basic block inside the super block. And if based on the program execution, we can exit from any of these basic blocks. During the super block generation, we automatically, as a consequence of this operation, we automatically inline the methods, which also increase the performance. And we do, as also a consequence of the operation, a partial recursion unrolling. Our STM that controls the consistency of the program, we called it the byte STM. It's a virtual machine level STM. It's based on the ring STM algorithm, which use the Bloom filter as a signature to represent the read set and the write set of the transaction. So when we need to detect the conflicts, we just intersect the read signature with the write signature of already committed transaction. We added to the algorithm we can maintain the order of the transactions. Byte STM is available publicly as an independent project also at this URL. One harder problem is the parallelization of nested loops. We implemented this parallelization using parallel closed nesting transaction. As we said from the start, that transaction memory support composition, and each transaction can has child transaction. If there is one technique which called the flat nesting, as in this technique, if a child transaction conflict with any other transaction, the child and the parent transaction are aborted and retried from the start. As you see here, we start again from the beginning of the parent. The other technique is closed nesting. In this technique, if the child operation, child transaction conflicted with any other transaction, just the child transaction is aborted and parent transaction remain continue to execute. What we have here is parallel closed nesting. As you see in the matrix multiplication example, we start here by forking two nested parallel child transaction, and inside each of them, we have two more nested parallel child transactions, and then it will join and join, and the program ends. Our experimental evaluation, we used eight core machines, contained two Intel Xeon processors, each with four cores. We used Ubuntu Linux server, 64 bits, and we used JAX RVM to run all the experiments since it's the base for our implementation. The benchmarks was one, the matrix multiplication example, and four applications from the Jordan benchmark suit, the minimum salesman, the minimum spending tree as a traveling salesman, and the tree ad and the bisection sort. Our result shows that we range from 2x to 5x speedup. The program that has better nature like the matrix multiplication, we have 5x speedup in it, and other programs with less better nature, we've gained 2x speedup. In summary, we have Hydra VM, which is a Java virtual machine with automatic parallelization that automatically refactor the source code at the bytecode level without the need for the source code. And we exploit the data level and the execution flow parallelism. We use the STM software transaction memory to maintain the program consistency, and we have a promising speed up range from 2x to 5x. The project website is hydravm.org. Thank you, and if you have any questions.
Thank you. Clarification questions. Oh. Yeah.
We did that, but what we mean was it can't handle, it needs special handling. Since we, if the I/O is already done, we cannot undo it. Yeah, but we do it here in Hydra VM by letting the program reach the chronological order of this super block, and at that time it execute with future, but without it cannot run and then undone. That's what it is.
Okay, right, right. And then a question about the speed comparison. Is that against a sequential execution?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. What do you have these super blocks that you form while profiling. What do you do about different inputs? Do you reconstruct the super blocks? Do you keep profiling all the time?
Yeah, if we are using the online technique, we keep profiling it all over the time. But if we are using offline, this phase is finished. And at this way, we use mixed profiling technique, which is if we have found each super block has multiple entries. So if we found that the new technique, the new execution need to come inside any part of the basic blocks that compose a super block, it's, we can do it in this technique. This way we have to relate how to relate miss profile.
Any other questions? Clarification questions, Jill.
I'm just wondering, when you reconstructing the code, you get rid of the instrumentation?
Yeah.